Interior humiliations. These poor souls, who are so scorned by others, despise themselves just as much. All they do, all they suffer, seems as trifling and despicable to them as it does to others. There is nothing impressive about them. Everything is very ordinary. They are spiritually and mentally troubled, and their everyday lives are full of disappointments. They are often unwell and need many attentions and comforts, the very opposite of the austere poverty so much admired in the saints. In them we can see no burning zeal, no achievement of great enterprises, no overwhelming charity, and no heroic austerity. Though united to God by faith and love, they find nothing but confusion within themselves. What makes them still more self-contemptuous is when they compare themselves with those who pass for saints, find no difficulty in their spiritual lives in submitting to rules and methods, and show nothing out of the way in their characters or actions. They are overwhelmed with shame. Their sorrow and misery at this are responsible for all their sighs and tears. We must remember that Jesus was both God and man. As man, he was destroyed, but as God, all glory was his. These souls have no part of his glory, but they feel all the annihilating anguish of what seems to be their wretched state. Everyone values them about as much as Herod and his court esteem Jesus. As far as their senses and mind are concerned, these poor souls are disgusted. Nothing pleases them. They crave for something completely different, but every road which leads to the sanctity they long for is blocked. They must live on in this bitter bread of anguish and exist under unrelenting pressure, for they have a conception of sanctity which never ceases to torment them. Their will hungers for it. Surely it is to mortify them spiritually, so that they can find no pleasure or satisfaction in anything, but must give all their affection to God. He deliberately leads them along this path, so that he alone can delight them. It seems to me that it is obvious from all this that these souls who have abandoned themselves to God cannot, as others do, become attached to people or concern themselves with normal aspirations, normal pursuits and activities. Nor can they make plans, look ahead, or organize any methodical system for their activities or even for their reading. If they did, it would imply that they were still free to run their lives as they wished, and that would be a denial of their self-abandonment. In that state, they surrender to God all their rights over themselves, over their thoughts, their words, their actions, and the use they make of every moment. They have only one duty, to keep their gaze fixed on their Master, listen intently to what he wishes, and then do it at once. They are exactly like a servant who instantly obeys every order his master gives, and never spares a second for his own affairs, which he ignores so that he can serve his master at any moment. We must not become upset and worried by the humiliations which come from the aspect we present to the world. Let us shelter behind this outer husk and enjoy God, who is all in all to us. Let us benefit by our weakness and failures, our fears and doubts. Let us draw good from our infirmities, which make us need special food and care, and from the contempt we are shown. Let us find all our happiness in God, who by these means gives himself to us as our only good. He wants the dwelling we offer him to be poverty-stricken, and without any of those mortifications of holiness which win such admiration for other souls. He wishes to be our only nourishment and the only one we desire. If we had the virtues of almsgiving, zeal, austerity, and poverty, we are so weak that we should take pride in them. Instead, everything is disagreeable, and so God is our sole support and the only means of our achieving holiness. The world despises us and leaves us to enjoy our riches and peace. God desires to be the unique cause of all that is holy in us, so all that comes from us is very little. In God's sight, there can be nothing great in us, with one exception, our total receptivity to His will. God knows how to make us holy, so let us leave the business to Him, and think no more about it. All depends on the vigilant care and action of Providence. We are usually unaware of them, and they often work in ways which are both unexpected and unpleasant to us. Let us tranquilly perform all our little duties and not look for great ones, for God does not give Himself to us because of our own efforts. We shall become saints through His grace and by His special providence. He knows to what eminence He wishes to raise us. Let us leave it to Him. Let us cease hankering after pointless systems of spirituality. Let us be satisfied to love Him ceaselessly and to walk with docility along the path He has marked out for us, where everything seems so trivial to us and to the world.